Join the conversation today. Text us on 0499 736 736. Live on SEN Track. Welcome to Trot's Life.
It's now time for Garrick Knight on Trot's Life.
Welcome to Trot's Life. It is our Wednesday edition. You never know what you're going to get, particularly in this segment. Garrick, how are you, mate? Whereabouts are you today?
I'm good, thanks, Tobes. Just sitting here on my couch doing some research and development for my various tasks that I have. Been pensively looking at my phone for the last 15 minutes waiting for your director to ring me.
Yeah, wow, director. He'd be happy with that. He might up his wages with a name like a director. But look, have you got your shoes and socks off and are you using them to count down the days till I lobby New Zealand?
Mate, I have not been more excited about anything for quite a while, I have to say. So I've got us a fun-filled couple of days planned.
Have you?
You know, theme parks, nightclubs, dancing, a rodeo, a parade, mate, you name it, we're doing it.
All at your place. There's a bit goes on there.
All at my place. I trust you'll be bringing a camera crew over with you.
Oh, yeah. Be all documented. That's how I roll, for sure. Now, tell me, you're 6'7" or 8" or something, aren't you?
Just missed that. Just cut it there, bud.
How tall are you again? You're tall, aren't you? 6'7", 6'8"?
6'6".
6'6". Well, you'd have sweet pins then, wouldn't you?
Yeah, they're very sexy. it's not bad. Nice little Twitter reference there. I like that. I think it might be joining the hall camp in Perth. Those who aren't familiar with what we're talking about, I just noted on Twitter the other day, a horse from Southland that has just been exported to Australia. It ran a 53.9 half in a workout win for Robin Swain. Half brother to Captain Pins, I want to say. Is that the horse that Dennis McIntyre's got?
Yes.
Over your way?
Yep.
And there's another one, Mickey Pins or Mickey something, but I think maybe Blake Jones has got, possibly. Yeah. I don't know if it's raced. Yeah, anyway, it's from a good family. And I just thought, you know, I know the workouts, especially learner's heats, it's just a walk and sprint home, but 53.9 is still 53.9. And this horse was mightily impressive doing it. Now, I am aware of what it sold for. I won't disclose that, but I'm told reliably it's going to Perth.
Yep.
Probably the hall camp, I think. So keep an eye out for that when it eventually steps out. Sweet Pins.
Yeah, Mickey Pins has won 3 from 9, and it's not the Robin Swain breed, though, is it?
Robin Swain breed. We've got a couple of their McPhersons. They've had a broodmare, got a broodmare gem there, and they just seem to have landed into a good thing here, getting them up and going and selling them unraced or lightly raced, and that obviously. I know Captain Pins wasn't a cheap horse, and I'm guessing the one in the middle wasn't either. So it's working out quite nicely for them.
Yeah, she's a Arts Place mare, so it's no surprise, mate, that the Dark Knight.
They must have wanted to sell him, because those who know Robin Swain and how he operates, he's very old school, very very quiet and unassuming, and that's reflected in how he educates his horses and how he drives them, and especially in their learner seats. In this workout, he was up this horse and really asking him to hum along. So
yeah.
I'm guessing maybe the buyers were already watching and had been told, if you want that price, you've got to show us what he's capable of. So
yeah, my late father was good mates with a bloke by the name of Colin Baines, and they wheeled and dealed a fair bit together in another life, mate. So anyway,
right.
The Dark Knight Rises, Michael Caine. Goes around at Penrith Thursday, race 8, number 2.
Yeah, come over from Greg and Nina Hope. He's got a lot of ability, this horse. I've timed him there one day at Addington. He whipped home at 55.5 and 26 flat. And, you know, he really exploded over that furlong. So he's got the speed. I know they've had a rep on him all the way through. I think going back a couple of years, every winter through one of my publications here, I do a thing called a six-week series called Around the Stables, which is a comprehensive sort of deep dive snapshot into all the big stables. You know, what the team's doing, how the two-year-olds are looking, anything up and coming, unraced. And the stable actually called this horse their horse to follow back when he was unraced a couple of years ago. Now, he probably hasn't developed or delivered on that promise. Maybe a little bit like Bluto last week, but possibly on a lesser scale. We know what Bluto's come out and done, run 150 today night. I know he worked like a really good horse, but he just didn't quite do that on race day. There were some exceptions, some good runs, like I pointed out, but I think he was a little bit inconsistent. Now, I actually messaged Benny Hope, who had a lot with him, and he said he works like AG's White Sox at home. He worked like his brother at home, but like an adopted relative on race day. So there you go. That's quite an apt description. So the best, I guess what I'm saying here is the best version of this horse could win this race, for sure. But maybe we don't know what version we're going to get.
Well, it's interesting because the next one's the next horse, race 8, number 3, drawn right alongside Jacqueline Rose. So tell us a bit about her, and then where do the two line up?
It's hard because they're from different islands, so they never met. I do like her. I think she's quite a progressive mare. Anna Donnelly had her and was taking her down to the Central Districts, which some people might say is the dance of the desperate, I suppose, but I think it was more about growth and development. She came back and she won at Cambridge, and she won a sub-2-minute mile race, and I've seen enough there from her. I think she was a 155 mile at Auckland one night, and she got home really well off a cold shot. So I think in the long run, she's going to be a really good follower of speed, and that's probably going to be the way that her best results are going to come. Now, the other one in this race that you're about to ask me about, Delightful Star.
Yeah, yeah.
Quite unusual, actually. Three first up from New Zealand in the same race. Now, this is an interesting one. Her form line is patchy, but she's possibly the one with the most ability. There's been some glimpses there that really told me she's got a lot of upside. I know her first start was excellent. She showed huge gate speed. Then got pushed back and rocketed home. Second start at Addington, she beat a filly called Turn the Page, who we know has gone to Perth and done a super job over there for the Bombs. They got a 26.4 lead time that night and come home in 27.6. And she beat Turn the Page. That's the best version of this filly. She gets around the bends good. She can be a little sloppy on the straights, actually, which is unusual, but I think if they push the button with her, she's got the gate speed to get across, and I don't think that likely at Bennett, but she is very fast out. Whether they just drive her conservatively first time off, you know, first time out for the new owner, and that, you know, well, I guess remains to be seen. But going forward, for Olivia Frisbee and Mr. Boots, the Boots Army, going to be a nice wee owner.
The pole horse in that race has got a fair bit of ability too, Rock and Roll Sloy, mate. So it's actually a very interesting little race. It's a one-win race, which sort of suits the Kiwis when they come over, you know.
Yeah. There's sort of two schools of thought with these Kiwis that come over. I find the ones that have to go to Menangle first up generally take a bit of adjustment to that style of racing.
Yeah.
Which makes Bluto's one the other night even more impressive. But anywhere else, the importing trainers seem to be able to place them to advantage early on, as well as the change of scenery. I'd love to see the strike rate of first up horses in Australia from New Zealand. It would be very high because ultimately most of them level off and you know, their form trails off. But just those first few ones, I don't know why, they just always seem to go well. If I had to put my neck out this week, I don't know. Probably Michael Kane on the score of the draw, and the fact he's race fit. The other two are fresh up. I don't know. I think Jacqueline Rose had a trial. I'm not sure if Delightful Star had as well, but race fitness counts for a lot. And Michael Kane, he's come from Addington. That's the hardest place in New Zealand to win a race, I find. So the form from there will be good.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's an intriguing race, and I suppose the market will tell us a bit more, but you're not putting there's not a lot between all of those. Now, I couldn't help but notice your tweet about don't stop dreaming. You think he's unbeatable in the New Zealand Cup, bar leap to fame.
Look, I'd probably had a few beers Friday night, to be honest, Herbs. It's a fair assumption. If you read any tweets from me after about 9 p.m. on a Friday or Saturday night, I'm generally going to be removing them the next morning when I go back and do a bit of a review of my activity. Yeah. But I did watch that replay again this morning in the cold light of day, and it was a dominant win. But look, leap to fame among others. It will provide a major foil for him come New Zealand Cup time. Probably better. I should have said race by Grimm's Knight. I think if he draws 1-4, I don't know how they'll beat Don't Stop Dreaming. My personal opinion, and I don't say this lightly, is that he's a better horse than Merlin. I know Merlin won both derbies. Well, I think he Don't Stop Dreaming had bad draws.
He did.
And pretty much every time they've met,
yep,
Merlin had the best draw. And that's not taking away from Merlin. He's a classy horse, but just Don't Stop Dreaming seems to have the better acceleration, the better speed. And he showed the other night, sitting parked outside Kango, who's a very good horse. He sat at bottom and just burned away from him. So, yeah, I think there's a touch of disappointment around the Miracle Mile there and Chariot and that, but I'm just going to put it down to what I alluded to before, that sometimes it can be an adjustment based on an angle and maybe, you know, circumstantial. I think, what was it, the Chariot of Fire, Mark Kern said something like when he looked at the tapes, the horse would have had to run its last half of like 52.8 or something to win from where he was. So, you know, that's just impossible. Yeah, it's just one of those things. So we'll look past that and push forward. But, the race by Grinsfield finalised now. South Coast Arden coming over. A little bit disappointed by that, to be honest with you. Bit of a cop-out might be the term I'd use, because the spot holders own the horse. And I just feel like there's probably better options. I know he's been going well enough in Sydney, but, you know, coming back to New Zealand and taking on, you know, two or three of our best horses and better equips and Rock and Roll Do, you speak the truth, of course. Just don't know that he's going to need to want to draw one or two to be relevant or competitive, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It seems like a crying shame that Catchaway was going first when they were so keen to come over here. You know, but that is what it is. Cambridge's loss is Gloucester Park's game.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And they're the slot holders. They make the decisions, don't they? It's up to them how they choose it. And we don't know what negotiations took place behind the scenes. There's one more in the trot race still available, isn't there, from memory?
There is. You know, I mean, all indications point to it being Constantinople from Luke McCarthy's barn.
I'd love that.
I'd
love that, because that'd add another element with the New South Wales trotter who's flying.
Yeah, for sure. So Tony Hurley, he and his owners of Volk Brilliant, they've got to find a replacement for him. All indications are there's ongoing conversations. I know Luke and Belinda probably were more of the opinion that they wanted to come and bring two, possibly bring Can't Find a Better Man. And now that he's missed a slot, I don't know whether that crosses those flames a little bit, but I don't think Tony and his team would find a better replacement in New Zealand. You know, you'd be looking, now that Smoke and Bandar's gone to the paddock, you're really only looking at Majestic Man and Love in the Port. I don't think Love in the Port's got the speed for that race. Majestic Man's about 9-year-old now and, you know, competitive, but I just don't think that he would be in that race. So, yeah, Constantinople, going to be very interesting. Yeah, to me, huge spectacle. A lot of Aussie interest.
All right, mate, thanks so much. You, by this time next week, you'll be down to just your hands counting down those days.
I've got a little calendar on the wall, mate, with a photo of you on the 11th of April, the day before, and I cross each and every morning every time I go to bed.
You didn't have to put it on the dartboard, though. I thought that was a bit unkind.
I'll speak to you next week, mate.
Good on you, Garrick. Thanks, mate. There's Garrick R. Knight. If you want to get in touch with Garrick about a Kiwi horse you're interested in or you want to buy one, reach out to him on Twitter. Maybe not after 9:30 on a Friday, though. Garrick R. Knight. Or you can get in contact with me. Most people know my number, or you'll get me on Messenger or on Twitter. Let's take a break. Back short segment the other side.